God's laid on his heart. We're going to pray for Brother Chris this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful for this man who stands before us this morning, Lord, to deliver the messages that you've laid upon his heart, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you will hide him behind the cross this morning, Lord, that you will give him the strength to deliver this message in the manner you want it delivered to each and every one of us. And I pray, Lord, that we will open our hearts this morning and receive this message and let these words lay on our hearts, Lord. So, Lord, we just ask you to be with him as he brings this message. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, my son didn't make it easier for me to preach, get started at least. But I do thank the Lord for his testimony, because I know many of you know God is faithful. No matter what it is that we go through, we look to him, we'll always find our needs met in him. I want to apologize to Sister Linda, because I don't know, a few months ago I had converted a lot of her cassettes over to digital format, and in that process I didn't listen to every second of every one. I'm sorry, Sister. One of the devices I was using actually failed. I had to change, go to another direction, but that's, I guess, the first one we found out where it failed at. But the Lord blessed, because the song is true, amen? And that's one thing we learned, that we've got to keep pressing on even when the way is difficult, singing, preaching. But life is difficult. God never promised that it's going to be easy in this world. There's a lot of joys, so many blessings, but there are a lot of difficulties along the way. And I wonder at times, I think back, I used to live that way for a while, but I don't know how people make it without a Savior. I don't know how they go from day to day without the Lord to lean upon that rock, that one who is our strength. But I'm glad that I have found him to be the refuge for my soul, the one that I need. I'm glad to see each of you here this morning. And I want to invite you to turn to, in the Word of God, read a couple verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and then we'll go to Mark chapter 1 in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 16. And I'll talk more about Paul's words here and focus a little more tonight, Lord willing. But I want to begin here and then go back to Mark. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto death, unto life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Then down a few verses, Paul again comes back to this. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. In Mark, the first chapter, Jesus was beginning his public ministry, and it says, "At even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee." Let's pray. Father, we bow humbly before you this morning, because we are reminded, Lord, we confess that we can do nothing without you. We need thee every hour. Lord, we need you every moment of every hour. I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would take control of this moment in time, that your Holy Spirit would be manifested in our midst, and you would speak through these lips of clay words of life that would be a help a strength and encouragement to each one here. Lord, may your word and your spirit lift our eyes to look upon Jesus once again. I pray, Lord, that souls would be encouraged today, that those here or listening from some distant place, that, Lord, your spirit would move through your word. For your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In these verses in Mark, the first chapter, we see a scene that is repeated often in the Gospels. We see the crowds, the multitudes, they come, and they come because they're seeking Jesus. You remember after he fed the multitudes that the crowds just followed him. They came seeking him. When he taught on the mountainside, and they followed again seeking him. Each time he would perform miracles, and he'd done so many great things. People would come seeking him. And it wasn't only the Jewish people, but in John 12, we're reminded that those two Greek men, Gentiles, they came to Philip saying, "We want to see Jesus." The disciples express it like this, I believe, with a sense of wonder and amazement, because this was early, of course. They were just beginning to come to know Jesus and what he could do, who he was. This was all in its infancy. And they said these words, "All men, everybody seeking for you." And we know that they were expressing that on a human level, because it was such an amazing thing to them. I'm absolutely convinced they had no way of knowing at that time the deep spiritual truth that was revealed in those few words that they spoke. That all men, even when they do not know it, are really seeking Jesus. That in the soul of man, and when I say man, I mean all people, in all of our seeking for pleasure, for contentment, for satisfaction, for joy and those things, without knowing it, people are seeking for Jesus. And I say that because what they're seeking for is satisfaction. What they're seeking is for some thing or someone that will be sufficient to bring contentment to their heart and to their minds. And the world does not know this. Sinful people do not believe it yet. But we ought to know it as God's children. There is no one else but Jesus that can bring those things to the human spirit. So this morning, as we consider this thought, and they may seem like strange scriptures to associate together, but you'll see in a moment, I hope. But as we think about people seeking Jesus, I'd just like to ask a simple question about that. Why? Why did the crowd seek Jesus then? Why do we seek him today, this morning even? Why have people for 2,000 years since Jesus left this world, have they continued to seek Jesus? What is the answer to this reason why? And I'll tell you, and this is where I want to get to our subject this morning. People sought Jesus because he was always enough. He was always sufficient to meet their needs. You won't find it in the Bible, the Gospels, and you would never find an honest soul ever saying that I come to Jesus, but I went away empty. Because nobody who comes humbly, who comes with their needs to Jesus Christ, ever goes away empty. Amen? Because Jesus is enough. It is those words that I want to use as our subject this morning. It's on one level a very simple thought, but it is a truth very profound at the same time that has the power to transform our lives when we believe it, and we began to experience it. Those people who came to Jesus then, they found a sufficiency in him that they could find nowhere else. And this truth that I'm trying to get across with the help of the Lord this morning, of what people found when they sought Jesus, a Christ who is enough. They found an adequacy. They found a sufficiency for what they were looking for. It is a truth that is very fundamental to our nature, because when we seek in this world, we're always seeking for something that is sufficient. You know, you don't go to the restaurant and order a meal so that you can get a third of the food that your body needs. You want to get enough, amen? A man that is, you know, just a couple things on a physical level, a man that needs to, say he needs to move a heavy object like a refrigerator, he doesn't call his weak neighbor, his elderly neighbor, and ask him to come. No, he calls his strong neighbor because he needs somebody who is strong enough to do what is needed. A person who is poor and struggling financially, when they face some financial crisis, they don't call their poor cousin who is in as bad or worse shape than them. They go to the bank where there are enough resources. They call some friend who has enough resources because they believe that they have enough to meet their need. And we don't have to get very old to understand this truth. Even a little child understands it. You know, that little girl that sees that vase or pot up on the cabinet shelf, she knows that she's not tall enough and she's not supposed to climb on the cabinet. So she goes in and asks mom and dad, would you, and drags them in, points up there, said, could you please get that for me? She doesn't ask her little brother or sister. Why? Because they are not tall enough. Even a little child understands this basic thought of sufficiency. In Jesus' day, when he lived in this world, those folks who were sick, dying, their bodies decaying, their brokenness in body and soul, needs of such great in such great ways, they came to him with their needs because they believed he was enough. They believed that he had sufficient power to heal the disease, to cure the brokenness, to make the lame legs walk again and the blinded eyes see. They knew that Jesus had sufficient power to be able to do that. But not only did they believe that his power was sufficient, they believed that he was willing enough. Amen? They believed that his heart of compassion, his kindness towards them was enough that they were free to come to him. And so in every way that was necessary, they believed Jesus was sufficient. He was enough. And so they kept coming and coming and coming. They came so much that at times the disciples said, you got to get away from the crowds for a while. You got to rest. And he would go away to be with his Father, as we read here, alone in the night. But see, the people in Jesus' day, they were not running to the synagogues and the temples. Those Jews who were steeped in the Jewish religion and all those traditions of men, they were running down to the scribes and Pharisees because they had never been enough. Those people that were broken in body and sickness, they weren't flocking down to the local doctor because they had never found in them an adequacy. They had never found someone able to do what needed to be done, but they sought Jesus for this very simple reason, because he alone was enough. Now you may think, well, Brother Chris, they were seeking him, you know, just on a material and a physical level for things of the body and so on. They didn't yet have any ideal that he was sufficient for all things, and certainly that's true. But do you realize today how blessed we are? Amen. That we have the truth from God's word and the truth from
2,000 years of recorded church history and the testimonies of multiplied thousands of believers. We have had the privilege to watch Christian men and women around us who have demonstrated this truth today, that Jesus Christ is sufficient for all my needs. Amen. That he is sufficient to take care of the debt of sins that I owed, dear ones. And he is sufficient for all the failures in my life, all the sorrows and shame, the brokenness. He is able, he is enough to restore and to bring healing to my life. We have this privilege today to know that he is enough. He's enough. And I talked Wednesday night about the past, present, and future. He's enough for our past. He's enough for our present, and he's enough for our future. Amen. And only Jesus is. So it is a wonderful, marvelous opportunity that we have today to be on this side of the cross, to live in the new covenant, dear ones, and to know that we have a Savior who is all sufficient for all things. Hallelujah. But I will tell you why we ought to know this in our own heart, and I hope that you do. If you don't, I hope it'll change before you leave here today. But I'll tell you, one of the great challenges that we face as the church, I mean the real church in this generation, not the play church, not the apostate church, which is most of what's going on, but God's true people have a challenge today, and the ministry, true ministry, has this challenge. And that is to move, help people to move in their hearts and minds from the place of asking the question, what question? Is Jesus enough? To the place where in their own soul they have discovered Jesus is enough. Amen? That is, you may not have thought of it in these terms, but it is the challenge. One of the great challenges that we face today, you know, we living here in the Bible Belt, our big thing is not just telling people about Jesus. Most of our community has heard about him, but our problem is trying to get people to come to that place where they're willing to believe, willing to put faith, willing to move from the question, is this Jesus that I've heard about, is he enough? And to get them to come over into this experience of faith where you can say, I found it so. He is enough for me. Amen. It is a great challenge that we face. And I'll touch on this tonight. Dear ones, there is no way you and I can do that apart from the power of the living God. Amen. Paul himself admitted that in those verses in 2 Corinthians. Now in these days that we are living in now, and don't mean the past 100 years, I mean the past few days, weeks and months, even this week. We are facing such monumental problems in our country, such brokenness in our government, in our political system, so much distrust that many people are back to asking this question, and I'm talking about church people. Is Jesus enough to fix the mess that we are in? Is Jesus strong enough? Is he big enough? Is he willing enough to solve the monumental problems that we face in this nation and in this world? And then not only is it on a collective, a national level, but they look around their own communities, they look around their own families, the people that they love, and they see the consequences of sin and the brokenness and people they've prayed for their sometimes almost their whole Christian lives, and they wonder, is Jesus enough to heal the brokenness in that heart? Is he enough to deliver them from the depths of sin? Is he enough? But you know, the hardest question of all is when we start looking within. I really don't know that I ever faced a time where I wondered if he could fix you or another person, but I wondered if the devil starts saying, nah, he can't fix you. And people began to look within because other than God, we know better than anyone about our own needs. We don't play, oh, God help us that we don't. God help us to be honest, but there's no need playing games when we look into that mirror, amen. Is Christ sufficient to fix the problems in my life? Is he enough to heal my brokenness? Is he, oh, that people would ask this and find the right answer, is he enough to conquer my sin? Is he enough to, oh, I know he changed their life and he changed their attitude, but is he enough to change my heart and my attitude? Is he enough to tame my unruly tongue? Well, I will tell you today, if just one soul makes that move from questioning to the answer, then all our time will be worthwhile today. Amen. And those things I know, I mean, I've learned this much. I have to leave in the hands of God because I may not see that with my eyes. It may be someone here that I do not see that until it unfolds in the months and years ahead. It may be someone listening in another place or someone that will listen to this message. And God knows who exactly needed this. Amen. But they'll catch hold of God's word. They may not pay attention who preached it, and I'll tell you that doesn't matter at all. But God in heaven gets a hold of their heart, and they realize that this question I've been asking, God in his word has given me the answer, and I can step into this experience, and I can find the all-sufficient Christ to be real to me. Amen? If only one soul. So I've learned, I'm still learning. I'm trying to leave those things to the Lord because we cannot go by what we see on an outward level. I'm reminded many times that God never called me, he didn't call you in your Christian life to measure your spiritual experience by whatever degree of success that you see spiritually or ministerially. That is not how God evaluates us. The world may look at this country preacher and say, well, you just, you know, pretty much a failure, and the church, you know, struggles to keep attendance up. And of course, we're in good company with about every other church today. People come in, people go out, people get up, people get down. I see all those things. But dear ones, God just reminds us that when his word is given, it will not return void. So I just want to be faithful. And I'll tell you that, you know, we wonder why people turn in the directions they do. Sometimes I wonder that about church people. Why they look here, why they look there. And if you think about it in this context, the question is pretty easy to answer because we turn in the direction we believe we're going to find sufficiency. We don't go somewhere because we think, oh, that's just going to be, you know, make me a little bit happy. No, we believe that's going to do it. That's going to bring contentment. And we see it on almost every level in the world. You know, we wonder why that person that has been their life almost destroyed by alcohol day after day, night after night, weekend after weekend, they keep picking up that bottle and getting in that same drunken condition. Why do they keep turning to that bottle? Because they still believe the lie that in that bottle, I'll find enough. Now maybe they can be rational enough to realize not enough for tomorrow, not enough for next week, but I'll find enough to make me happy tonight. And the same with the addict that puts poison into their bodies. We wonder why it's so clear what they're doing, devastating their body and everything about their life. Why? Because they believe that they're going to find something sufficient to satisfy their cravings in that moment. The man, the woman that runs into illicit sexual relationships, why do they do that? Because they think that'll be enough to satisfy their lust.
And it is the same with everything that people of this world are seeking. We are in a nation that has, for decades now, and it is only increasing and not getting better but worse, they are running headlong after the gods of sport and entertainment. They have become America's gods. Why do they do that? The same reason that the alcoholic looks to the bottle, the same reason that the lustful man looks to sex, dear one, because they believe that if they can just get a hold of that, if they can get enough of it, that dear ones, it will satisfy, it will be sufficient to fill up this emptiness. The man who runs after money, the woman who runs after worldly success and fame and fortune, dear one, why do they do that? Because if I can just do that, it'll be enough. But we as God's children should know the reality. None of those things, and even more, nothing of this material world will ever be enough. Nothing to satisfy the longing of our souls. Maybe someday somebody will write a book. I've read several testimonies of these people who had enough. They made enough money, they got enough success, they won enough games, they reached the pinnacle of their professions, and yet by the scores they finally admit. CJ talked about one recently that even as they stand with the trophy in their hand and the streamers running down and the crowds praising them, that emptiness inside it. Is this all there is? It's not enough. The billionaires who have more money than any human being ought to have. All their billions, they've never got enough. The Jeff Bezos, the Bill Gates, Elon Musk, the ones who are at the very pinnacle of the financial empires, oh, they just keep going and going and going. Why? Because it's never enough. It's never enough. Whatever it is people's looking for, it may not be money, it may not be sports, it may not be alcohol, it may be academically, it may be career-wise, but dear ones, you can get to the top of the career, you can be at the very peak of the academic world, but it'll never, ever be enough because God didn't make us that way. We have a creator who designed us for something more, amen? He designed us for something better. He designed us where we only would find sufficiency in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the only way. But then you can come to religion. See, it's easy to agree. We look at the world and we see what's going on. But we come into religion and we find the same thing. People jumping here, jumping there, changing. You know why? Because they just believe that shiny new place is going to be enough. This single thought is a large reason for the rise of megachurches in this recent generation. The people fleeing from God's plan, which was local churches in local communities, going to these big places because there I can find enough. There I can get enough for my kids. There I can get enough social involvement. There, and they run to this dynamic preacher and this talented singing group and all these exciting ministries, and they think they're going to find enough, and their souls are empty today. Pews maybe, no, they're not filled today, but out of the pandemic, they may be filled to pews, but the hearts are empty because there is nowhere to find Jesus, nowhere to find contentment except Jesus. They believe the lie, the same lie. Only now
a lie that the devil uses in religion, and that is that something new, something different will be, I can finally find enough to satisfy me. But dear ones, until we bow our knees to Jesus, until we humble ourselves and we let Jesus Christ be Savior and Lord of our lives and we walk with Him, we're never going to find enough. You can have it all and have it in every way, and you'll be empty inside because it'll never be enough. So what we ought to do, certainly as believers we need to do, is to get back to the words of Scripture. Things like the psalmist writer said in Psalm 27 in verse 4 when he said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after." He's not two, not five, not the world in Jesus like is today. And that's the order they have it in, believe me. The world and then Jesus. Because they've been told and they believe the lie that you got to have all this, you got to have all this going on, and then you put Jesus there as a little slice of your life, then that'll never satisfy you. Amen? But David said, "One thing have I sought after." What was that? The presence of the living God. See, when you say, "Well, Brother Chris, that's he's talked about going to church." Oh, he wasn't talking about just going to temple. He was talking about the presence of God. Only that's enough. Then he wrote a few chapters later in Psalm 34, "They that seek the Lord, they're not going to lack anything." Amen? They may be struggling to get by materially. They may not have any success before the eyes of men, but they'll not lack any good thing, the Bible says. See, all this other, let's not fool ourselves. Let's not think that it's good. They'll not lack any good thing because the only good things is in the soul, that which is forever. We're never going to get enough of this world. We're never going to find enough in human relationships. Amen? Now, human relationships are wonderful. God ordained them. Husband, wife, family, structure. One man, one woman, remember? I need to say that today because it's not any other way. I don't know if I've been accused recently that I've forgotten that. I haven't forgot that one bit, I'll promise you. One man, one woman for life, not two men, not two women. Can I make it any plainer? I'm not jumping in anybody's sandbox, dear one. I'm just telling you God's word, God's plan, a family, a man and wife, a mom and dad, children. God ordained these things. But I will promise you this. You may find the most beautiful girl, the most talented. That girl may find the most handsome, the richest guy, but they'll never satisfy your soul. Amen? I could not imagine having a better wife than my wife. I am so blessed, and most of you would say amen. Beyond measure, not more than I deserve, and I agree. But if I depend on Sister Vicky to be enough for my soul, I'll be a miserable man. Amen. Now, in the relationship God's brought us to, I want no other. I don't want any more. But that's when we keep that relationship always submissive to God. And I keep Jesus before Sister Vicky. Amen. Before the kids. Before the grandkids. Before the church. I'm going to take care of her before I do you. Brother Chris, I'll say it again. Do I need to? Because that's the relationship God's called me to. As wonderful as that is. And I don't think anybody here has a better marriage than I do. I don't know anybody anywhere because I have a wonderful marriage. She is not enough to satisfy my soul. That's what I'm getting to. Now she's going to throw something at me when I get home, because she don't like it when I lift her up. But I just give God the glory. Amen. I just give God the glory. Far better than I deserve. I know that. And you all can remind me quietly when you leave. Better than you deserve. And I hear that. That's all right. I know it. But we can't ever find enough. Amen. See, all these things only lead to disappointment. They lead to failed relationships. They lead to suicides. They lead to abuse of all kinds, because when you put all your eggs in those baskets, the world, I mean, you know, you get to those high places and you got it all, and you realize that you're an empty, broken human being. Because nobody can satisfy you but Jesus. Only Jesus is enough. Religion will never be enough. Amen? I know it sounds odd to hear a preacher say that. You're not going to find it in religion. You know, you have a chance to be a part of the most wonderful family in this world, the family of God, but just joining the church ain't going to have, it's never going to be enough for you. Only Jesus, amen. Now, we could, I'm not going to this morning. You could take a lot of time and you could go study, and some of you can remember many instances in the Old Testament when, as God was dealing with and teaching his covenant people, Israel, that time after time he had to bring them back to this truth. Because what would they do? They'd be with serving God a little while, then they'd run to the world. The flesh pots of Egypt. They'd go find the religion of the Gentiles and bow before other gods and turn their back on God. And time after time, God had to correct them. God chastised them. God reminded them that I am your portion and nobody else. I am the only one that is enough to meet your needs and satisfy your souls. I love those words. When God, I am your satisfying portion. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be something if the church would experience the reality of that today? Oh, it would be such a different world, a different nation, and we would be seeing revival very soon if the world, if the church, the body of Christ, would truly believe that and find and experience Christ as their satisfying portion, to where they did not need the junk of this world. Amen. Now remember, those things were written, why? For our example. We're to learn from them. We learn from their mistakes, from their failures, from God's dealings with them. That's for our example. But then as we come down to our own lives and the problems in life, I'll tell you that there is one problem that is the main problem. It is the source of all problems, and that is the problem of sin. Amen. I want to say this with kindness, but I want to say it clearly. There's never going to be anyone else that's enough to deal with your sin but Jesus. Nobody. I can't. I know. People sometimes ask me, they look to me, but I can't, because only Jesus can. Your mama that loves you and prays for you can't. Sister Margaret that loves and prays for her family and is a woman of God, they can come and she'll counsel, but she'll always be doing this, pointing them to Jesus, because only he's enough to deal with the problem of sin. Nobody. This is such a pivotal truth, and what is amazing is that we believe it to a point. A lot of people believe it up to a point, and I say that because to be saved, to be a true believer, you have to, this is not an option, you have to understand and accept that when it comes to the problem of my sin, which is my biggest problem, I mean collectively, There's no answer but Jesus. And we look to Him. That price He paid, that sacrifice He made upon that cross. We believe that only Jesus is sufficient for this problem of sin. We better be coming just like the songwriter said, because there's no other way to go. Nothing in my hand I bring. Only to thy cross I cling. Only Jesus is enough to pay the price for man's sin. Amen?
Amen.
But that is not all there is to Christian life. Because having come to Jesus, opened my heart and believing and accepting that He has washed me of those sins, cleansed me, that they've been put in the sea of forgetfulness, dear one, that He has taken care of all my past sins. That's only one part of time, the past, because I'm still living in the present. And I've got to face the future. And this is where there's so much failure in Christianity today. People believe what I said. Oh, it's got to be by Jesus. It's only by Jesus, His atonement and all that. But then they get up and they don't realize that the power of sin that confronts me today, the proneness of my own humanity towards sin that I deal with every day, there is no one else enough except Jesus. And let me tell you, you and I will never be enough to deal with the sin that wars against our soul, to deal with the temptations the devil brings our way, to deal with the pressures of this ungodly world that push upon us and try to oppress us, dear one. Only Jesus can do that. There is no other. People have looked to, and I know people who, that they cling to doctrine. They cling to theology. They cling to this or that. But dear one, doctrine cannot overcome the power of sin. It takes Jesus. No one, not us, not you, not my dear mother who's with the Lord, not yours, not anybody can deal with this big problem of sin. No one but Jesus. And so I say, repeat the words of Paul. Our sufficiency is of God. Only Christ. Our only hope is Christ. The Christ of Calvary. Every moment of every day living in us, He is our only hope. I want to ask you this morning as a close. Not to tell me with your words, unless you need to, we can talk. But I mean, have you in your soul found Jesus to be enough? Have you found such sufficiency in Christ that your heart no longer craves the things of this world? Now, those are not, question may be easy to understand, but it's not a simple thing to give an answer if we'll be honest. Because most people, when they look, let the Spirit of God search them and look a little more deeply, they realize the reason that I turn there and I run there and I crave for this and all that, the reason is because I have not found Christ all sufficient. See, Brother Chris, we still got to live in this world. I know we got to live in this world. The apostle knew that. Well, we were told that we live in this world, but we're not to be of this world. Amen? We're a different kind of person. We're a new creation. I know that God's desire is for every one of us is that we believe that Jesus is enough. See, one day, and this, I don't say this with glee, but one day we're all going to know it. One day we're going to come before Him and we're going to know what I've said. But I want you to know today. God wants you to know today. God wants you to believe today that there is no other one, no other sufficiency. Nobody, nothing else that is ever going to be enough except Jesus. And in believing it, we enter in. We enter in more deeply. It's a whole message because too many's just in the shallow waters. See, you, to use Ezekiel's vision, and I'm closing. Come ahead, sister. That way, ladies, come ahead. I'll close. They'll be up here. But you remember Ezekiel's vision, the stream coming from the throne, and it began like a little trickle, and people could get in it and up to their ankles. And your ankles could be cool, but your body is still all up here getting the heat. And then it got a little deeper to the knees, and then those, they could feel a little more, but oh, that wasn't the end of it, was it? Because he said, as the river goes on, it deepens, it widens, it becomes a river so deep, so refreshing that you could submerge yourself in it. That is satisfaction. That is the picture of the child of God that's come to live in Christ. That's where we find the words that God's given us today to be true. He is enough for me. Amen. Do you want to find Him that way? If God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come as we stand. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word that is so precious, your spirit that is so faithful.